Join us now for Flynn, Episode 7, The Box.
It was circus weekend on Granville Island. Jugglers, unicyclists, street musicians, and clowns. Scores of clowns. Casting off the endless gray winter, sun-starved Vancouverites eagerly joined in the fun, filled the parking lots, and commandeered restaurants from the Emily Carr College of Art to the Granville Public Market. Living on the Blarney Boy at the marina, I would have preferred to give it all a pass, but Willie had other plans. She was celebrating the reunion of college friend Vanna McIntyre and her estranged mate, Glenn. So there we were, lapping up the white wine and shrimp croissants on Bridges Wharf, overlooking False Creek.
Oh, isn't this heaven, Vanna?
One day of sunshine. That's all it takes to turn things around.
You are my sunshine, sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray.
Our dog's name is Sunshine. Glenn sings, she howls.
A couple more clowns, that's all we need.
Well, speaking of clowns...
Don't bother, he's here. I
believe he can speak for himself. Am I right, Mr. Clown?
I think he wants a donation.
No, it's for disabled children.
How about a few loonies?
Oh, look, he's giving us flowers.
A flower for each lady.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome, your beeping ship.
Your beeping ship?
Isn't that the proper designation? He's dressed as a clown lord.
I think you've had too much wine.
I think you're right. You better drive.
The 928? He lets you drive his Porsche? There's a switch.
Mi caballo es su caballo. My horse is your horse. Horse, house, whatever.
Okay, make a joke. But it hasn't been easy. Glenn's commissions are up and down, and I'm still being shortchanged on my trust fund.
The fund your mother set up? Your stepfather is still administering it?
Hogging, controlling, and guarding it. He's as tight-fisted as Scrooge at a telephone.
Let's not spoil the day talking about his merciless majesty, Colin Sandon. If worse comes to the worst, I'll borrow back a few loonies from the clown.
Glenn's right. Why spoil the day?
That said, I must remind you of the time, dear one.
Oh, it is getting late.
Oh. Have to pick up a paper. Meet you back at the car.
Okay.
Glad to have met you.
You bring on the clown.
Stay and finish your coffee. Well, let's do this again. Be good to her, Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, WP.
Bye-bye.
Friendship, like politics, makes for strange bedfellows. It wasn't that I didn't like Vanna and Glenn, but somehow they reminded me of other ideal couples. Charles and Di, Trump and Marla Maples, Barbie and Ken. You know, kind of plastic and popped out of a mold. Yet, despite all the banter, I sensed Vanna and Glenn had counted on her trust fund to stabilize their boom and bust income. Whatever their circumstances, they'd obviously had a painful wake-up call for the 90s.
So, what do you think?
Vanna and Glenn? A great pair.
They are great together, aren't they? I knew you'd like them.
Well, you didn't think I was going to tell her what I really thought, did you? It wouldn't be fair to them. I wouldn't have been so condescending if I'd known what was going on in the parking lot back of the restaurant. Right there in broad daylight.
Another clown. I'm sorry, but I don't have any more change. No, please, stop!
Hey, what's going on? Let go of me.
Ah, God, my eyes! My eyes!
Man, Prince Charming can't help you. Nah, no fight.
So, what does Glenn do for a living?
Real estate.
Oh.
And he races cars.
How old's the Porsche?
How should I know?
He, ever take you for a ride?
Oh, Flynn. That's classified information.
Maybe I should trade in the Blarney Boy on a sports car.
Don't you dare! Come on, we have to get back.
Willie and I took the shortcut through the parking lot at the back of the Bridges restaurant complex. The place was quiet. All the action was on the side facing the water. The route passed near where the Blarney boy was moored, and I was thinking of ways to con Willie into taking the afternoon off and going for a sail. But we never got that far.
Flynn, the Porsche. It's Glenn.
He's having some trouble.
Glenn, what's wrong?
The bee. Is that you?
What? Where's Vanna?
Help me. A man in a clown suit. Kidnapped Vanna.
Oh, my God.
A laundry truck. Kidnapped.
Flynn, look at his eyes and that smell.
Oh, God, pepper spray. I can't see. He shot me right in the face.
Flynn, he's taken Vanna. We have to do something.
Call the police. Will he give them Vanna's description?
Okay. Tell them about the laundry truck.
There's a phone in the restaurant.
Right. He must have disabled my car. You've got to go after
her. Let the police handle it. They've got the manpower. The van's probably off the island by now. No telling which direction it took.
I should have been here sooner.
We were in luck. Detective Sergeant Patrick Kirkland arrived with the investigation team. Pat and I both coach in the Inner City Football League. We have a grudging respect for each other. Of course, you don't argue much with a 6'2" bear of a man, on or off the field. Nonetheless, Kirkland didn't rely on his muscle. He might have had a quick temper, but he has a cool head.
Well, thanks for the input, Flynn. You too, Miss Green. I'll get back to you when we have more to go on.
We want to help. There must be something we can do, Pat.
Look, buddy, I got a lot of sifting to do around here, and it has to be done fast. I really can't have extra people on the crime scene.
Extra people? Vanna McIntyre's a good friend of mine.
It's okay, Willie. The sergeant's got a point. We shouldn't get in his way.
I'd appreciate that.
But as security consultant for the Granville Island Authority, it might be a good idea if we cooperated closely.
You never give up, do you? Okay, but stay out of the way.
Any trace of the laundry truck?
It was stolen this morning. No witnesses. I've got an APB out on it.
Finished with the car for now, Sergeant.
Oh, yeah. What did you find?
Nothing special inside. We're trying to lift some prints, but they look like old ones. And all the wires are ripped out under the hood.
Judging from the shopping bag and missing shoes, she was surprised outside the car.
That's where we found this.
All right.
What's on the cloth?
Oh, probably ether.
Oh, yeah, that's ether. First year biology. I'll never forget those frogs.
And she's unconscious. Where could he be taking her?
Well, if I knew that, Miss Green, you can be sure I wouldn't be poking around this parking lot. Look, Flynn, why don't you two make yourselves useful?
Mm-hmm.
Take young Glenn McIntyre to your office. The paramedics are finished with him. See if he remembers anything else.
A cop car dropped us off at Sam's place. Glenn's vision was almost back to normal, but the guy sitting there in Sam's office wasn't a welcome sight.
What the hell are you doing here?
Waiting for you to play out your charade.
Charade? You think it's fake? She's been kidnapped, you son of a bitch.
No, let's calm down. Now, you must be Glenn. I can understand that what happened must have been a terrible shock.
If you can understand that, what's this bastard doing here?
Trying to find out the truth, you leech. When Sergeant Kirkland got through to me, he said you were coming here.
Mr. Sandon's interest is self-evident, it seems to me. Now, whatever bad blood there's between the two of you, he is your wife's stepfather. He wanted to check the facts with all three of you before he talks to the police.
You must be W.P. Vanna didn't tell me you were such an attractive young woman.
My niece, W.P. Green, is my law partner. Her appearance is beside the point.
Mm.
And this is Flynn, our private investigator.
We had lunch with Vanna and Glenn, then later found him in the parking lot.
The kidnapper got away in a stolen laundry.
Yeah, the police told me.
Well, shouldn't you be at your office or home in case the kidnapper's phone?
For the ransom, you mean?
Well, surely that's what this is all about.
Is that what's at stake, Glenn? My daughter's trust fund in the form of a ransom?
You filth. Vanna's life's at stake, and you're trying to pin the whole thing on me.
Not you alone. There had to be an accomplice, maybe even Vanna herself.
You're out of your mind.
You've got her wrapped around your little finger.
Now, look. I don't think this is really very helpful, Mr. Sam.
No, let him rant on. I want to see where he's going with these crazy ideas.
Okay, I'll cut to the chase. Call off this phony kidnapping, and I'll write you a check for $50,000. We'll call it a practical joke that backfired. All you have to do is get out of Vanna's life for good.
And with me out of the picture, you manipulate Vanna's trust fund any damn way you want.
I don't have to listen to any more of this. I made my offer before witnesses, and you spit on my generosity. Now you can take your chances with the law.
Colin Sandon. What an anal retentive little bit of business he was. A selfish, whining, pompous ass all decked out in a pinstripe suit. I was glad he left before Kirkland arrived.
Here's Pat now.
Well, found the laundry truck, but no Vanna.
Oh, my God.
Just the other shoe. And this drawing.
It looks like a box.
Willie was right. It was a primitive drawing of a box. Even had the specifications. 4 feet wide by 4 feet high and 6 feet in length. There was a sketch of a light bulb, a box of food, a jar of water, a cylinder of oxygen. A ventilation shaft led up to the surface. The whole unit had a covering of earth. But the most chilling part of all was an almost childlike figure lying in the box. The letters at its head spelled out Vanna.
We have to do something. Look, here's a check for $10,000. It's all I have in the bank, but I'll get a loan on my car. It should bring in close to $20,000.
Look, they're not going to hurt her. We'll work with the police. We'll nail them when they go for the ransom.
I've got friends. I'll call in my markers.
It's going to be all right, Glenn. This drawing may not even mean anything. Just something to scare us.
But we can't take a chance. She could suffocate in that thing.
Now, easy, Glenn. It's going to be all right.
We have to raise more money, but not from him. Sergeant Kirkland, I insist. Any ransom call is channeled to me.
I'd like to oblige you, Mr. McIntyre, but we have no way of knowing how the kidnappers will get in touch, if they ever do.
What do you mean?
Nothing, Miss Green. Nothing. Well, we've had a pretty good start. Let's get back to work, shall we?
Kirkland had let it slip out. Maybe the kidnappers would panic with the cops so close on their tails. It's happened before. The victim is ditched somewhere, never seen again.
Flynn, talk to you in private?
Over here.
Look, I ran a quick check on Colin Sandon.
Right?
He's a real heavy hitter, lots of money. He's probably the target of the ransom.
Well, judging by my passing acquaintance with the man, I'd say he has an enemies list as long as your arm.
Well, that's where I'll need your help.
Right.
Just a few names. It'll speed things up. If you stumble onto a lead, we'll do a follow-up.
Okay, I'll handle it. But I want to be in on the bust.
Hey, you'll be riding shotgun, my friend. Yeah, count on it.
After everyone left, I followed Willie up to Sam's apartment. She was taking things hard. Sam stayed in the office, phoning his cronies, looking for names Kirkland might miss. It was a long shot, but it beat watching the clock.
Want some coffee? I'm making fresh.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, God.
It's all right. It's just a cup. Here, I'll clean it up.
I can't stop shaking. I close my eyes, and I see Vanna in that box. Buried God knows where. Alone. All alone. What kind of a monster would do such a thing?
We'll find out. And we'll get her back.
But we don't even know where to start looking.
Willie, I know it's hard. She's your friend and it's scary, but we have to keep focused.
You think there's still a chance?
Yes, I think there's a good chance. And I'll tell you why.
And not a snow job, Flynn. I want the truth.
Well, the truth is this. All the kidnappers want is the money.
And without Vanna to exchange...
They're out of luck, so they've got the best incentive in the world to keep her alive.
Unless something goes wrong.
It won't go wrong. There are too many good people working on this case.
I keep seeing her in that box.
Think positively, okay? She's going to be all right.
Okay.
I may have sounded a little more confident than I felt. Kidnappers have been known to kill their victims and just pretend they're alive. But a message of hope was the right medicine for Willie at the time. An hour later, Kirkland faxed me my share of names to check out. So I borrowed Sam's car and wandered down the yellow brick road looking for the Wizard of Missing Heiresses. And as you might have guessed, I soon found I wasn't in Kansas anymore.
Colin Sandin. You want me to talk about Colin Sandin?
Yes, I'm just doing a routine credit check, Mrs. Callis. I understand you had some business dealings with him. What was it, 3 years ago?
Business dealings with that pig? He stole my franchise. 3 restaurants. Now all I got is this little place.
So you feel he treated you unfairly?
I take him to court. He lie. It's finished. If I see him in this place any time, I kill him.
So that's the way it went the rest of the afternoon. A litany of complaints, but no solid leads. My final contact took me to a building construction site to talk to a developer named Hans Brack. About 50, chunky, gray hair stuffed under a blue hard hat. He was overseeing a small condo project. As I drove up, I noticed his sand-colored Mercedes had seen better days.
Yes, I know Colin Sandin. We were partners in a large high-rise development 10 years ago.
Uh-huh. Was it a profitable arrangement?
Yes, for him, yes, I think so. For me, well, it's a cutthroat business being a developer. Full of surprises.
Mm. And he surprised you?
Yes. You learn to get over these things. So you're doing a credit check on Colin Sandin?
Yes.
Has this got anything to do with the kidnapping of Sandin's stepdaughter?
The question caught me flat-footed. How the hell did he know? When I contacted him, he said he'd been on the site all day, out in the suburbs.
I heard about it on the radio in the office. An undercover policeman or something like that.
Oh, no. I'm just helping with the investigation.
Well, I can tell you I don't like this Colin Sandin. He's too slick with other people's money. But I would not wish him a painful experience like this.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brack.
I know nothing more than that, but if the police want to talk to me, here is my card.
I should have known the media would be onto the kidnapping story. I was lucky to get out of the situation with Brack so lightly. Construction types are seldom so polite. Anyway, I hadn't learned much checking out Sandin's enemies list, other than a lot of people had a good reason to hate him. I kept Willie company until midnight, and then walked down to the Barney Boy to catch some sleep. Something strange was going on. Nothing solid, just a feeling. I checked forward, then ahead. No luck. But I knew I'd had a visitor. There was an audio cassette in the playback slot of my stereo radio. It had no label.
Hello? This is Vanna McIntyre.
Oh, God.
I'm buried under the earth. Oh, God. I don't know where. I'm instructed to read this message. It was lowered down the ventilation shaft with this cassette recorder. Ransom of $500,000 in 50s and hundreds. Will advise time in place of drop. Well, that's all I'm allowed to say, but oh, please help me. Oh, for God's sake, help me.
Vanna's pitiful request for help was soon relayed to all concerned with the case. Kirkland already had Sandin's phones tapped. He added men to the Blarney Boy, Sam's place, Vanna and Glenn's apartment. By evening of the second day, Sandin had arranged for $500,000 in marked bills. It included money Glenn was able to raise. Everyone was on side this time. Now Kirkland and I were on our way to check the stakeout at Sandin's.
You sure you've covered all the bases?
Yes, all of them. Cops on stakeout, phones tapped. How many times do I have to tell you?
Good God, there he goes.
Who?
Sandin, going the other way. I'm sure that's him.
He's supposed to stay put at the house.
We're going to lose him.
How the hell we are?
Sergeant Kirkland, come in.
Kirkland here.
It's Mr. Sandin, Sergeant. He took off on me while I was on the toilet.
Tell me something I don't know. We're in pursuit going east on Parsons Road. Back us up. No sirens.
I had to give Kirkland credit. He laid back a bit as we followed Sandin's car. No use blowing the ransom drop with too many spectators. But how did Sandin get the message? And where was he taking us? A few minutes later, Sandin pulled to a stop at an overpass. We killed our lights and pulled over. There was enough illumination from the light standards to see Sandin get out of the car, hook a rope on the suitcase, and lower it over the side of the railing.
There.
He's making the drop.
There's someone waiting under the bridge. Take the off-ramp. Hell, it's Glenn's Porsche.
All units in vicinity of Highway 99 and Parsons Road. I'm in pursuit of a black Porsche moving south of the Massey Tunnel. Driver is suspect in kidnapping case.
He's outrunning us. Oh, God, the lanes are blocked going into the tunnel. He's spinning out.
The front end of the Porsche was smashed against a concrete abutment some distance away from the traffic jam. He'd been trying to make it off the main lanes into a weight scale off-ramp. As we reached the car, I could see Glenn's bloodied head slumped against the steering wheel. He was in a bad way.
Damn it, Glenn. Why did you do it? I thought I could outrun a cop car. I forgot about the tunnel.
Now, Glenn, where's Vanna? We don't know where she's buried.
Vanna, I did it for us.
Where is she, Glenn?
Vanna.
The trunk sprung, no suitcase there. How is he?
He's dead.
Poor bastard. There's no suitcase in the car either.
He was a decoy.
Colin Sandon heard the siren, saw the chase, and now he had finally caught up with us. He pushed his way through the spectators and spotted Glenn in the driver's seat of the sports car.
Glenn McIntyre, you son of a bitch. I knew he was behind this.
He's dead, Sandon.
Well, good riddance, I'd say. Where's the money?
Aren't you going to ask about your stepdaughter?
She'll be all right. The message said they'd release her as soon as I paid the ransom.
What message was that?
It came with some junk mail, when and where to drop the money and not to advise the police.
So that's what you did?
I knew the money was marked, and you would follow me to the ransom drop and nail them there. I even used Glenn's money at the top of the suitcase, filled it out with telephone books.
You risked your stepdaughter's life?
Nonsense. Glenn wasn't going to hurt her, so why should I risk $500,000? Don't you see the irony of it? You caught the kidnapper with his own money.
No, we didn't. Your little scheme backfired. There must have been a second getaway car under the bridge. Glenn had an accomplice.
I thought it was him and Vanna.
Well, you thought wrong.
Whoever it was, he's long gone. I'll put out a general APB, but we don't have anything to go on.
Well, somebody tell me what's going on here.
Well, for starters, Mr. Sandon, we don't have the suitcase. And on top of that, Glenn died before he could tell us where his wife was being kept. Oh. So thanks to you, we're back to square one. Go with this constable and give him a statement. I've a good mind to charge you with obstructing justice.
All right.
What are you doing in the trunk, Flynn? There's nothing in there. Just tools and a spare tire.
And this.
What, dirt?
Not dirt. Builder's sand.
It was a crazy long shot, and I was surprised that Kirkland agreed to drive over to the Richmond construction site. But it wasn't too far away, and we had nothing else to go on.
Hi there. This is private property and all.
Sergeant Kirkland, I'm with the police. What's your name, friend?
Ben Blass. I'm the night watchman.
Ben, has Mr. Brack been around tonight?
No.
This condo development, is it built on a base of builder sand?
Oh, yeah. This is River Delta land, you know. The sand gives it a solid base. Then they pour a concrete slab on the top.
When did they pour the slab on this project?
Oh, about a week ago.
Before the kidnapping, thank God.
So the sand pile on this site is covered?
That's right. Pile, drove, and cap.
Damn, I thought there was a connection here.
Well, Mr. Brack has another property.
What?
Know.
Where?
Just off the main road there. You can see the sand pile from here.
Thank you, Ben. We'll borrow these shovels.
We were at the other site in no time, but where to start digging? The pile of sand was over 30 feet high and half a city block long. It looked like a pyramid with the top cut off. As I pulled up, I noticed Brack's Mercedes. It was parked just off the road.
Look, up there.
On the top of the pile, a dark figure was digging frantically. It was Hans Brack.
Come quick! Help me! The sand shifted!
We grabbed the shovels and scurried up an extension ladder to join him.
The sand shifted. It's filling the ventilating shaft. You have to clear it away.
How deep?
A meter. You have to believe me. This wasn't my idea. It was Glenn's. I just wanted to get back the money. Sandon cheated me out. Glenn did it for his wife. He was supposed to come back for her. Thought he could make her understand. Then I saw the car crash.
The box is here.
Come on, here. Scrape it clear. Come on.
Let me use the crowbar.
Here.
You're safe now, Banner. It's Flynn. Here, let me get you out of here.
Here.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
It's over now. You're going to be all right.
I'll radio for an ambulance. Come with me, Brack. You're under arrest.
I couldn't have let her die. You must believe me.
Come on.
It had been a very close call. No one could have predicted the sand shifting the way it did. If Brack hadn't come back, we'd never found her in time. But in the hospital, Vanna McIntyre was more concerned about what had happened to Glenn.
If I hadn't kept going on about my trust fund, none of this would have happened.
But it was all Sandin's fault. He had no right to hang on to the trust.
Well, Sam's going to change all that.
Well, how could Glenn even have thought of such a thing? To put you in that box and expect you to forgive him.
I was so scared.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, forgive him.
He got way off course, but in his own way, all he was trying to do was free you from Sandin. He loved you, Vanna.
Some love, Flynn.
Flynn, I know. He loved me.
You've just heard The Box, Episode 7 of Flynn by Lyle and Barbara Brown. Featured in the cast were Boyd Norman as Flynn, with Colleen Winton as Willie, and Robert Clothier as Sam. You also heard Wendy Van Reesen, Ron Halder, Tom Macbeth, Wes Tritter, Paul Beckett, Wally Marsh, Lee Taylor, and Christina Yastremska. The recording engineer was Chris Cutress, with sound effects by Joe Silva. The production assistants, Dagmar Kafanka and Loretta Joyce. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny, and the series script consultant is James W. Nickel. Flynn is produced and directed in Vancouver by Don Kowalczyk. Our executive producer in Toronto is Bill Howell.